Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to tighten old-school D&B swing in Ableton Live 12 using macro controls in a way that still feels musical, gritty, and alive. The goal is not to sterilize the break. The goal is to make it playable, repeatable, and powerful enough for a modern drum and bass arrangement. Old-school D&B swing has a very specific character. The drums lean a little, the ghost notes chatter, and the bass line breathes against the pocket instead of sitting dead on the grid. That human push and pull is a huge part of the energy. But in a track where the drop needs to hit hard, you also need control. That's where macros come in. Instead of constantly editing individual clips and devices, we're going to build a rack that lets us move between loose jungle energy and tight roller pressure with a few well-designed knobs. First, start with a break that already has character. Pick something with natural swing, ghost hits, and a nice snappy backbeat. You want an Amen-style feel, or any break that has that classic sampled movement. Drop it into an audio track and warp it gently. In most cases, warp mode beats is the right place to start. Use a preserve setting like 1/16 or 1/8 depending on how dense the break is, but don't overdo the warping. If you flatten the timing too much, you lose the personality that makes old-school drum and bass feel alive. As you're listening, pay attention to where the main snare lands and where the ghost notes sit. A good rule is to keep the snare around the grid or just slightly ahead, while letting some of the ghost hits sit a touch late if that helps the pocket. That little drag can be part of the groove. Don't full quantize everything just because you can. In D&B, tiny timing differences matter a lot. A few milliseconds can be the difference between locked and sloppy. Once the break feels good, slice it into a drum rack if you want more control. This is where sampling becomes a creative tool, not just a playback method. Build a layered kit around the break. Reinforce the kick with a punchy, sub-friendly one-shot. Reinforce the snare with a short, crisp transient layer and a body layer. Keep hats and rides separate if they need different treatment. The idea is to preserve the break's character while giving the drop enough impact for a club system. On the drum bus, add a few core processors. Drum bus is great for weight and drive. EQ8 can clean up low-end rumble that doesn't need to be there. Saturator can add density and make the drums feel more present. If the kit needs a bit more glue, use glue compressor lightly. Keep the settings musical. A little drive, a little saturation, a little compression. We're aiming for control, not a crushed loop that loses its bounce. Now let's get into the fun part. Macro control. Group the drum elements into a rack so you can map useful macros. Name them in a way that describes the actual musical effect. For example, Titan Swing, Drum Snap, Ghost Life, Break Grit, Snare Focus, Hat Push, Room Size, and Bass Lock. These are not vague more or less knobs. They should tell you exactly what part of the groove they affect. A really effective macro setup is to think in pairs. One macro tightens something, and another gives it life or looseness. For example, Drum Snap can increase transient punch, while Ghost Life can bring up the quieter chop details. Titan Swing can pull the timing into a more locked-in position, while Room Size or Ghost Drift can let it spread back out a little. That kind of pair-based thinking makes the rack much more expressive. You can map Titan Swing to subtle timing shifts using track delay, groove pool influence, or even tiny clip offset changes. Keep the range tiny. We're talking around plus or minus 5 to 15 milliseconds, not huge movement. For drum snap, you can map drum bus attack and a small EQ boost in the upper mid-range, somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz. For ghost life, you can use utility gain or layer volume changes so the quieter hits come forward when needed. For break grit, add a little saturator drive or a touch of redux on a parallel chain. The important thing is to keep these ranges subtle. D&B groove is so fast that even slight changes are audible. Too much timing shift or distortion and the rhythm stops feeling like a groove and starts feeling broken. Next, use the groove pool to create your swing foundation. Instead of hard quantizing the break, apply a groove template with a swing feel around 54 to 58%, depending on how old school you want it to feel. Be careful with timing and random settings. A little goes a long way. Then test that groove against the bass line before you commit. A swing pattern that sounds great alone can feel wrong once the bass enters. So always check the relationship. A smart workflow is to duplicate the break clip. Make one version that has stronger swing for the intro or build-up, another that is tighter for the drop, and maybe a third that feels a little looser for a breakdown or switch-up. Then use your macros to blend between those versions with clip gain, return sends, or rack layers. That way, the track can move from ragged jungle energy to locked-in roller pressure without losing its identity. Now let's build the bass around that pocket. In old-school influence D&B, The bass works best when it reacts to the drums instead of bulldozing through them. Build a bass rack with something like Wavetable, Operator, or Analog. A clean sub layer is essential. Keep that layer simple, usually a sine or very pure triangle. Then add a mid layer for character, maybe a Reese or Gritty patch. If you want extra movement, add a texture layer with filtered noise or Foreman style motion. Process the bass carefully. Use EQ8 to clean up the low mids on the mid layer. Use utility to keep the sub mono. Add saturator or overdrive for harmonics. Use auto filter if you want slow movement and tension. Sidechain the bass to the kick and maybe the snare if the groove needs breathing room. For the sub, keep it centered and clean below around 120 Hz. Let the mid bass do the expressive work. That's how you get power without mud. Create another macro rack for the bass and call it bass lock. Map bass lock to sidechain depth or tiny timing shifts using track delay. Map bass grit to saturation amount. Map bass width so it opens only the upper bass texture, not the sub. Map bass motion to filter movement or wavetable position. This lets you move the bass from tight and controlled to a little more animated without wrecking the low end. Now we resample. This is one of the best moves in sampling bass D&B production. Once the drum and bass relationship is feeling good, route a new audio track to resample and record a few bars of the groove. Capture 4 to 8 bars if you can. That gives you editable audio that contains the interaction between drums, bass, and processing. Then you can slice that resampled loop into new clips, fills, reverse tails, stutters, and transition pieces. This is huge because sometimes the best way to tighten a groove is not to rebuild it from scratch. It's to print the performance, then edit the right hits. If one ghost note feels too loose, you can fix that locally. If the whole loop feels good, leave the rough edges in. That unpredictability is part of what makes old school swing work. Now make the rack useful in arrangement. This is where macros stop being mix tools and start becoming composition tools. Automate different macro combinations across the track. For the intro, lower drum snap, reduce bass grit, and pull back ghost life. In the build, slowly increase tighten swing and hat push. For the drop, bring in full drum snap, bass lock, and controlled break grit. For a switch up, briefly raise ghost life and room size. For the outro, strip back the low mids and reduce saturation so it's DJ friendly. A good D&B arrangement doesn't need constant wild changes. It needs controlled changes every 8 or 16 bars. That's what keeps the energy moving. You can think of each phrase as having a job. One phrase introduces the pocket. The next adds low end pressure. Another increases density. Then you strip it back and reset. The macros help those transitions feel intentional instead of random. As you mix, keep checking whether the groove actually reads clearly. The kick and sub should not fight. The snare should still land with authority. Ghost notes should be audible without becoming noisy. Hats should support the swing pocket without masking it. Use EQ8 to clean low end from breaks and hats. Use utility to check mono compatibility. Use glue compressor lightly if the kit needs cohesion, and resist the urge to squash the whole drum group. Overcompression is one of the fastest ways to kill ghost note personality. A really useful test is to switch the track to mono for a moment. If the groove still feels solid and the bass still locks, your setup is working. If the energy collapses, something in the timing, width, or low-end balance needs attention. For heavier sections, build a dark mode variation. Duplicate the main rack and push it a little darker. Add a bit more saturator drive. Narrow the stereo width on the bass mids. Increase snare body slightly. Shorten room or reverb tails. Make Titan swing a bit more rigid. This gives you a tougher second drop option or a darker switch up without making it feel like a completely different song. If you want even more character, try splitting the rack into clean and dirty lanes. Put the same break on two chains. One chain stays clean for punch and clarity. The other gets saturation, bit reduction, or a worn sample texture. Then map a macro to crossfade between them. That's a very effective way to move from clean pressure to grimier underground texture. Another advanced trick is to fake timing changes with audio effects. A tiny pre-delay on a return, a short slapback, or a filtered parallel delay can make hits feel later or heavier without actually moving the note. That can be really useful if you want the groove to loosen up a little without losing the overall grid relationship. Also, don't ignore clip envelopes. If one snare or ghost note needs extra life, automate that hit instead of the whole bar. Small local edits preserve the groove better than broad global moves. And if you're working with simpler or sampler, you can even map a macro to tiny start point shifts on alternate slices for subtle variation from one pass to the next. A good practice exercise is to build a two-version groove system. Make one version looser, with more ghost detail and softer transients. Make the other tighter, with more snap and more grit. Then automate them so the track moves from loose to tight over 8 bars. Resample the result and listen back in mono. If the two halves feel related but clearly different in attitude, you're on the right track. So the big takeaway here is simple. Preserve the soul of the old school break, then use Ableton Live 12 macros to tighten it with intention. Let the break carry the swing. Keep the sub mono. Make small timing moves. Use macro pairs so you can go from human to locked in without rebuilding the whole beat. And don't be afraid to resample the groove once it starts feeling good, because in TNB, printed audio can become your best editing material.